Hi everyone, and welcome to my podcast. Today I'm going to be reading A Tale of Two Queens, A Farfadelian Adventure, aloud. I am reading the first two pages, the first little tiny section of it. And yeah, so, chapter one. It was a beautiful day in the kingdom of Farfadel. The sun cast its warm embrace over the rolling hills and lush green fields. Butterflies bobbed on a breeze, dancing over flowers that dotted the sides of one long road. This was the main road of Farfadel. It crossed from the end of the valley, just where the dark mountains began, and wound its way to the topmost of the tallest hill. There was situated the great castle where the king and queen of Farfadel lived. It was grey and spired, poking fancifully up into the sky so all could see its beauty. Today all the people of the valley had clustered into this great castle. They were celebrating the birth of a princess to their queen, and the gifting thereof to one of the great queens from beyond. And so it was that in the castle's great hall, a cradle had been set up in the middle. It was made of wood and was sturdy and simple, yet draped with the most elaborate of bedclothes. At its head stood the king and queen, beaming down at their child. A few nobles and dignitaries who had been allowed to assist this moment looked on from behind them. The white queen, tall and lithe, stooped over the cradle's side. She was the queen of the white plains of desolation. She was spindly, tall, and dressed all in whites and grays. Patterns of frost and snowflakes were embroidered over her cloak that cascaded like wings around her, and a broad sword hung at her hip. Her armor gleamed of gold and silver. Instead of a crown, she wore a headdress of an owl's head and wings that draped down the side of her head. Her face was not unkind, her expression normally unreadable. Yet as she looked into the cradle, happiness lit her features. Her thin and pale lips curled into a rare smile. All assembled held their breath. The king and queen clasped hands together. Their hearts soared, their eyes brimmed with tears. It was their dearest wish come true. They had wished that this queen of the farthest lands and greatest powers would be the one to choose their child as her own. It was a great blessing for all, especially the child. The baby, milk white and pink with the freshness of her age, cooed up at the white queen. The queen, in a rare show of mirth, chuckled pleasantly. Her blue eyes glowed with a surreal light as she reached a hand into the cradle and touched the child's cheek. "I'll take her," she murmured. The king and queen sighed in contentment. A great relief came over them. Oh, how wrong this could have gone. They exchanged a hopeful smile now that all their problems were over. It had all worked out for the best. It was a good thing that that hateful dark queen had not appeared. Bang! The castle doors flew open. Bang! A staff thudded onto the stone floor. Splat! The sound of a servant dropping the cake in fear. The royal pair recoiled. The white queen straightened in anger. The dark queen from the mountains of mystery looked over all with a sense of distaste. "I'm here," she announced in her habitual curtness. And now two great queens stood at the cradle. To the left, the queen of the white wilderness beyond the valley, cold yet beautiful, renowned and respected. To the right was the queen of the mysterious mountains. She wore no armor and carried no weapon, yet all feared her. She was robed in a black dress that trailed on the floor behind her. It glimmered as if crystals were embedded into the hems and sewn onto the spirals along her trailing sleeves. Rocks of all sorts were strung about her neck in luxurious necklaces. Her headdress was a deep green cloth above which sat a crown. At first glance, the crown seemed of wood. But upon closer inspection, it revealed itself to be of twisted gold-like branches set with glimmering jewels shaped like flowers and plants. Her features were hooked, her red eyes narrowed and glimmering. She carried a twisted wooden staff. She was feared, for few knew anything of her mountains and its shady lands, and who knew what to make of the strange beast that lived there? For this queen spoke little, did little, and yet was feared aplenty. Many strange things were blamed on her. For whereas the white queen would send frost and biting gales that were easily identified as her own, the Queen of Mysteries would send invisible ailments, nightmares, and even the plague. As it so happened, the two were also age-old enemies. It was said that they hated each other so much that in time immemorial they forced their lands apart, thereby creating the fertile valley that lay nestled between their lands. It was these two great queens that stared each other down from either side of the cradle. Neither was very pleased. Neither wanted to be the one who looked away to condemn the royal pair for such foolishness. As was her habit, the White Queen started speaking first. She was direct, demanding whatever she desired immediately. "I have been promised this baby for 5 years. I have it signed in their names with their seals upon it. This baby is mine. Turn around and leave this place immediately." As was her habit, the mysterious queen said as little as possible. "No." "It is mine." "No." The White Queen thrust out a hand. Spreading her fingers above the baby, she uttered a spell. A marking appeared on the baby's forehead. It glowed a light blue in the shape of an owl's head. The queen ushered it away with the wave of the fingers, and the baby's forehead returned to its smooth pallor. "There, have you seen it? The baby is mine. She bears the mark of my magic. Now leave." The Dark Queen raised her eyebrows. She lowered her eyes to the baby. Drawing her staff into the air in a large arc, she lowered it carefully down again. The soft tap of it touching the earth made the walls shudder. A glow came over the baby. A burning symbol appeared, shining through the swaddling wrap. With a gasp, the White Queen drew the cloth back from the tiny chest. "Ah!" She cried out in anger at the sight of the green mark over the baby's heart. It was that of the tree, the roots reaching as wide and thick as its many branches. The mysterious queen smiled cruelly. "She is mine." Tears of rage brimmed in the White Queen's eyes at this treachery. She spun to face the king and queen, voice cracking out like snapping ice. "How could you? How could you betray your own promise?" Behind her back, the Dark Queen scooped up the baby in her arms. Humming, she began to stroll away with the infant. The king and queen pointed, crying out in wordless alarm. The White Queen spun and saw the Dark Queen making her way out of the hall as if nothing was the matter. "Stop right there," the Queen of the White Lands shrieked, drawing her sword. Whipping it into an arc, it cast a cold breath into the air about them. Sparkling crystals of ice appeared, shimmering as a magic lace through the air. The queen swept her sword again, and a spear of ice appeared, growing straight out of the floor in the Dark Queen's path. It jetted up, a barb of ice aimed straight at her face. It stopped abruptly, the pointed tip hardly an inch from the Dark Queen's hooked nose. Her eyebrows raised in surprise, but she hardly seemed alarmed. "I will not let you take my child," the White Queen announced, marching forward. "Give her to me." The Dark Queen snapped her fingers. A black blanket, knitted with crisscrossing details and laced with red flowers, appeared in her hand. She draped it around the baby. There was a hood knitted into a corner, and she tugged it snugly over its head. The White Queen circled her shoulder. "Take that off. My baby will never wear black." "No," the Dark Queen sneered, hugging the baby to her chest and turning away. "Goodbye." Head held high, she took 2 steps. The White Queen swung her sword again, and another ice spear jutted up and stopped her. The Dark Queen stepped aside and continued. Another burst forth. Once more, she tried to leave, yet the White Queen had lost patience. Like a prison, it encased her. Its wrist, stuck to the floor still, formed a wall while its fingers bent down like bars in a cell. "I will not let you leave here with her," the Snow Queen proclaimed as she stood before the ice prison. The mysterious queen's eyes gleamed. She lifted her staff. Tap, tap, it spoke gently against the floor. Instantly, a green smoke rose, spiraling quickly into the air. As it rose, it grew, taking the shape of a winged dragon made of mist that darted forth from the growing column of smoke. Breathing fire and snapping their jaws, these dragons lunged at the White Queen. She parried, slashing at one and slicing its head off. With another strike, she cut the neck in half, but a third bit its fangs against the armor on her shoulder. She threw it away, and the ice prison burst to shards. Goodbye, the mysterious queen announced as she lifted her staff into the air a final time. The White Queen yelled, casting such cold magic before her as she had rarely ever done. Sheets of ice burst up, pointed teeth clashing together to form a triangular prison with walls 3 feet deep on all sides. But through the latticed crackles of ice, the queen saw it was empty. Her baby was gone. The White Queen's heart broke. Tears welled in her eyes, then fell like frozen drops to the ground. Without turning back once to look at the king and queen, she marched from the hall with her sword drawn. The Dark Queen, safely tucked into her cavernous halls in the mountains, hummed a lullaby as she walked. Trolls, gnomes, pixies, ghouls, and dark elves of the earth looked on as she walked through them. All awaited in silence as she reached her great throne of stone. In a rustle, she sat on it, still smiling down at the baby. "Your Highness," an aged spirit spoke, approaching with reverence. He was of a tree, bark and all, gnarled and ugly with moss for teeth. "What shall we name her?" "Spruce," the queen declared, her lips curving wide. "Baby Spruce." Then, looking out over her subjects with flashing red eyes so bright they seemed aglow, "Prepare the offerings for her festival." The festival, the Dark Queen spoke of, was one set to happen 1 month after a baby's birth. It celebrated the passing of a precarious time. Hopefully, if the sacrifices were large enough and comely to the Great Spirits, it would assure safety and health for the entire baby's life. The Dark Queen intended it to be a festival such as had never before seen in her kingdom, or even in all the lands. It would have the largest bonfire, the most sumptuous sacrifices. However, there were some minor mishaps happening along the way. The first day of the baby's first month, a series of shards of ice appeared across the valley, crossing all the way to the mountain's edge. They gouged up the earth, they tore houses and trees. They upset the cairn that marked the beginning of the Mountain Queen's lands. It was a call to war. The Dark Queen dismissed it with a wave of the hand and a tap of her staff. A deep pestilence wafted out, spreading throughout the valley. The cows grew sick. Milk curdled in the bucket. Wheat rotted on the stalk. And when it touched ice, it became monstrous shape that crawled maggot-like across the land. They ate whatever they touched, burning the ice as they crawled. Hail appeared the next day, smashing all in a fierce strike. Fields were flattened. Fairies knocked cold straight out of the trees. Branches caved and toads fled from ice the size of fists. The Dark Queen tapped her staff once more. Then, as an afterthought, she tapped it a second time. She was weaving a cloth for the baby's celebration gown and did not want to be disturbed. The lakes grew dark. The water turned thick and unwilling to move. Rivers drew still, stagnating as a slime grew atop them. Waterfalls, once resplendent and crashing with power, now choked up. Their rocks dripped with a green stringiness that stunk. As this malaise spread, it took over the snow. A bright green crust was seen on the white beyond. It grew over the drifts. It seeped up into the domed walls of the White Queen's people's homes. Even in the crisp air of the snow plains, it stunk with a putrid fervor. It was around this time that the fairies of the valley met together in council. "This will not do," they said to their chief, gesturing to the wreckage that had become of their beautiful valley. Solemnly, the whole council nodded. The chief agreed. "Something must be done," she said. And so it was that the mischievous fairies put their heads together and devised a plan. On the second week of this disaster, a message was sent to the mysterious queen. It was carried by a long-legged hare ridden by a tiny gnome. The poor little creature got no farther than one hop into the mountain's land than he was stopped by elves carrying barbed spears. Quivering in fright, he quickly handed over the scroll and hopped away. The elves brought it to their lord, who immediately feared it was important and destructive. Fear growing its thick barbs in his heart, he brought it to the queen on bended knee. She was not pleased at having her weaving interrupted. The baby's cradle was beside her loom, close so she could hear its every coo and sigh. 3 servants of stone stood beside it at all times, waiting in the solid silence for any of the princess's needs to arise. Their eyes were never allowed to lift from it as long as they stood watch. The elf lord offered up the rolled-up scroll. With a disgruntled sigh, the queen set aside her shuttle. Picking the scroll from him on the tips of her fingers, she held it up with disdain curling her lip. As she read it, her features softened. A warm hue came over her, and she dropped it back to him. "Ready, my horse. The princess must go meet her neighbors in 3 days' time." And she returned to her weaving with a smile on her lip. The invitation had been for a party, strictly among the fairies of the valley. They were numerous and petty-minded in the Dark Queen's opinion. However, they had not written her a complaint about the waves of assault barraging across their lands. Instead, they had invited the queen to a special and private party to celebrate the queen's new daughter. For, as they said, the first month was a special occasion and deserved to be celebrated. The Dark Queen was quite pleased by this and took it as an overt sign of flattery on their part. Poor, miserable wretches, they were trying to earn her sympathies. Perhaps they would timidly ask her to spare their lands before she left. She pushed that useless thought out of her mind. Her battle was not with them, but with the arrogant White Queen. Let them complain to her. She had weaving to do, and could not be bothered with the complaints of those beyond her lands. On the day the invitation stated, the queen finally finished her weaving. She shook it out, and it was a beautiful mantle. It was decorated with flowers, moss-like patterns, and roots that gave way to spiraling patterns. She held it above her daughter, sorely tempted to try it on. But that would be bad luck. This was only to be worn after the first month, and so she set it aside. Then she scooped up her precious babe, all dressed in a resplendent baby's dress that draped down to the queen's knees if it was not gathered up. The cloth was a deep green, rich and lusciously embroidered. A spiderweb-like cloth was swaddled around her to keep her warm. A little cap, studded with black stones, was fixed to her head with a ribbon. The Dark Queen smiled at her baby, caressing its cheek. Her red eyes gleamed as she whispered, "Wake up, baby spruce, wake up." With a coo and cry, the baby opened its eyes. Its tiny fists flailed in the air. Its blue eyes sparkled happily up at her as it babbled incoherently. The queen held it tight. The little thing laughed, grabbing at her headdress in one squishy fist. The Dark Queen pried it loose with a smile. Then she picked up her staff and tapped it on the floor. When the Dark Queen reappeared, it was in a tiny house. The walls were wood, stripped of its bark, and fashioned in twisting shapes. Flowers were carved and painted into the corners. Cut panes of glass were painted in bright colors and set high in the pointed roof. In the center of the floor sat a rectangular table. Cups were set all around and a plate of treats at the center. All around sat the leading fairies of the valley. Each was adorned in their special ornaments. For some, this was pearls from a far-off sea set in their green hair. For others, it was yellow flowers and pink hair. For all, it meant bright skirts that puffed to the sides, pointed shoes, bracelets of vines and flowers aplenty. The queen smiled graciously at them as they rose in her presence. "It is so lovely of you," she began, but was interrupted by the creak of the door behind her opening. The White Queen stepped in, stooping to get through the door's low frame. Beyond, her chariot and dogs were resting. With one foot in, she stopped. Her eyes grew wide as they set on the bundle in the other queen's arms. "Oh," the Dark Queen said with distaste. She lifted her staff angrily. "No!" The dozen fairies shrieked in chorus. It was such a shrill sound that both queens cringed and wanted to cover their ears. One fairy with electric blue paint around her eyes lurched forward. Her dress was green and stuck out in points. Blue leaf-like stones hung around her neck and dangled from her ears. "You are both killing the valley!" She flung her arms out as she braked to a stop between the queens. The Dark Queen raised her eyebrows in displeasure. "So?" "She stole my baby," the White Queen declared as she drew her sword with a sing of metal. "Get out of my way." "No, you are both devious. You both cheated." That accusation gave both queens reason to pause. an unpleasant look was passed between the two, and then they looked down at the younger fairy. A pink-haired fairy stood. Her voice was higher than most, and had an irritating grate to it. Unfortunately, she had the power of all-seeing. "You, Queen of the White Beyond, struck this land with such a winter that all nearly died. You would not let it up until the not-yet-wedded king promised his first child to you." The accusation bounced off the White Queen's heart, leaving not a trace of worry or regret. "So I was promised the child first. It is mine." A fairy with deep chestnut brown hair that poked out in Tangle's curls stood. "You, Queen of the Great Mysteries, you made the queen so sick during her time with child that she nearly lost it. You forced her to pledge it to you." "Yes," the Dark Queen said proudly. Looking down at the bundle in her arms, she bounced it merrily. "That was how you were made, yes." The baby laughed and waved its little hands in the air. The White Queen bristled in anger. Even the feathers on her cape stood on end, such was her anger. The Dark Queen goaded her, still cooing and eyeing at her baby. The dozen other fairies were quite sick of it all. "We've had pestilence, hail in midsummer, knives of ice piercing up from the earth. The water is like bad gravy." The Queen of Mysteries looked up finally. "And what, if anything, are you going to do about it?" She laughed a high, clear, and ethereal laugh. "Lecture me?" The last fairy stood to her feet. "Too late," both queens noticed her presence. That of the chief fairy among the fairies of the Great Council. Her who was most disgruntled by this whole affair. "We bind you, great queens," she shouted. "You are seized, bound, and unable to leave the boundaries of this land until you settle your petty..." "Ugh!" the Dark Queen gasped at the insult. "Stupid! Ugh!" the White Queen exclaimed. "And brattish argument. We bind you," she shouted, the others nodding solemnly in agreement. All squared their shoulders and lifted their chins bravely. The Dark Queen giggled. "So you bind us, too?" She looked around, lifting her staff. "The valley?" They all nodded. The White Queen sighed as if explaining things to a silly child. "That is not very smart. You've just been complaining of how we're wrecking your valley, and now you're trying to lock us in here? It's not going to work, and it'll just cause more trouble." Holding their heads high, the fairies began leaving in single file, marching past both queens with cold indifference. The White Queen continued, "Tell her to give me the child, and I will do my best to spare your lands." The door was shut behind the last fairy with a loud clap. The White Queen looked behind in time to see the Dark Queen wave. "Goodbye," she said as she struck her staff on the floor and vanished in a puff of darkness.